Christmas is the time of our service.
We go before the Lord and we petition Him because we serve a good and holy and righteous King who is on His throne. So let us go before Him. Father, we do thank You for this day. Father, we acknowledge all the turmoil in our land. Everything that is happening, Father, this is not outside of Your control. You are in complete control. You are ruling over everything that You have made, all of creation. Your will is being accomplished just as it has been in every generation. Father, we come before You now, pleading, Lord, that You would revive Your church, that You would revive the United States. Father, as we pray for this upcoming election, Lord, we continue to pray for our President and Vice President, Trump and Pence. Father, we know that You are accomplishing Your will. Lord, I pray that we would be in great prayer for the leaders of our country. You have placed them there to accomplish all that You want done. Father, we pray for the churches in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that the gospel would be preached. Man's ideas would fall. Father, we pray for First Baptist Church Keller that Your name would be glorified there this morning. Pray for Countryside Bible Church in South Lake that Your name would be glorified. Father, we pray here this morning that Your Holy Spirit would do a great and mighty work through the reading and preaching of Your holy word, that man would not receive any praise, but anything that of eternal value that happens, we would give praise and glory to You and to You alone. Father, open up our hearts and our ears this morning to Your word. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. The name is above all names. Amen. Well, if you would, remain standing for the reading of God's holy word. Turn with me to Acts chapter 15. I will begin reading in verse 30. If you're using a Bible that's found in the pew back in front of you, you will find this on page 924. Page 924. Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 30. So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. And after they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. Please be seated. So after the last 9 months, over the last 9 months, we have been studying the works of the Holy Spirit in the life of the early church. And specifically, over the last month, we have looked at the lives of Paul and Barnabas, men who risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Antioch, they were driven out of the city, but the gospel was preached and many were saved. In Iconium, There was a plan for the people to stone Paul and Barnabas, but they learned of the plan. They fled to Lystra and Derbe, continuing to preach the gospel. Paul was stoned in Lystra, thought to be dead, but with great zeal and the power of the Holy Spirit, he remained focused upon the mission that the Lord assigned to him, and he continued in advancing the gospel to the Gentiles and being a light to the Gentiles. Acts 15. This began the discussion of justification, which led to the Jerusalem Council. The affirming of what God had already done, what the Lord had already accomplished by the Spirit of God. That salvation is a gift of God. It's not a result of the works of the law. That a man, Jew or Gentile, is made in right standing before a holy God by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And any other teaching is to be rejected by the church. Our verses ended last week by informing us that comfort was brought to the Gentiles. Before men show up, they read the letter, and comfort was brought to the church, the entire church that had gathered together. The whole congregation gathered in Antioch, and they rejoiced at the encouragement of the letter. The Gentiles rejoiced that salvation was all of grace. Both Judas and Silas, they stayed for a while to encourage and strengthen the Gentile believers, and when they departed, they were sent off in peace because of their faithfulness to stay, their faithfulness to come, their faithfulness to preach the word to them. Paul and Barnabas, they remained in Antioch, preaching and teaching the word of the Lord. Much has happened in Acts, for it is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is a work of the Lord. So look with me at verse 36. This is where we find point number one, caring for the Lord's church. Caring for the Lord's church. After some days, Paul and Barnabas said, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." So Paul and Barnabas had been in Antioch for a while, preaching and teaching. And Paul, the untimely born apostle, he's led by the Holy Spirit to care for the Lord's universal church. He says, "Let us return and see how they are. Let's leave Antioch and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word. Let us return to where we have already been." So Paul is a shepherd. He's a shepherd who deeply cares for the Lord's church, and he needed to know how they were doing. Like, for example, today, many of us, we can go and we can get on a plane and we can go visit missionaries that are overseas, talk to individuals through Zoom, or get on the phone call and pick that up. This was not possible for them. They wanted to travel back to the towns that they already been to care for the Lord's church. So the Holy Spirit, along with Paul's love for the Lord and his church, spurs him into action for the glory of God. That the work that the Lord had called Paul and Barnabas to was being a light, specifically a light to the Gentiles. So they would bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And being made a light for the Lord for this purpose, it included follow-up, a checkup of their souls. This is much more than teaching and leaving. It is more than a one-time visit. It is teaching with accountability. It is teaching with follow-up. It is the soul care and evaluation of growth. Specifically, in the last two chapters, we have seen the great love and care that Paul and Barnabas provided to the Lord's church. If you'll look with me in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 21. It says, "When they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." So they preached and they stayed. They stayed and they made sure they understand the scriptures. They made disciples. They remained and they strengthened their souls. They encouraged them to continue in the faith. Teaching that in this life, that it's through many tribulations we must go through before we enter the kingdom of God. I am sure they talked about their own life, their hardships that they had gone through, the truth that you will suffer in this life. Look at Acts 14, verse 25. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Italia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. So they traveled, they taught, they shared what the Lord was doing with them, specifically to the Gentiles, and they remained no little time with the disciples there. The work of encouraging the church, the calling of making disciples, it is no easy task, for it cannot be done in man's strength. It is the power of God through men and women. It is the work of prayer, the study of the scriptures, and the teaching of God's holy word. Acts 15. Verse 35, but Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So there was other people besides them two that had grown to the point of being able to teach God's word rightly, dividing truth correctly. That caring for the Lord's church requires the teaching and the preaching of God's holy word. Men and women who know the truth, and they share the truth with the church that belongs to the Lord. A disciple cannot be made without the Holy Spirit nor the proclamation of God's holy word. Paul, he later encouraged young Timothy with these words in 2 Timothy 4. He said, preach the word. He said, be ready in season and out of season. In other words, be ready when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. Always be ready to preach the word of God, for it is the word of God that saves. It is not the work of man. Jesus declared that man lives on bread and the word of God. Matthew 4:4, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word in which God has spoken. All through Acts, what do? They preach the word of God. They spoke the word of God. Acts 4, verse 31, the word of God was spoken with boldness. Acts chapter 6, verse 7, the word continued to increase. It spread. Acts 8 and Acts 11, the word of God was received because it was preached. Acts 12, verse 24, the word of God increased and it multiplied. Acts chapter 13, the word was proclaimed. The word was desired to be heard. You remember that? The word had been spoken to them, the Gentiles, and the Gentiles desired to hear it more and more. Can you come back on the next Sabbath and tell us the gospel again? To care for your own soul, you must camp out in the word of God and approach it prayerfully with all humility. To care for the souls in your household, to care for those of the souls of this church, the word of God must be taught. The doctrine as well as the correct application for your life. Paul's mission was, and our mission as the church is, to go and make disciples, a focus upon maturity. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. In Ephesians chapter 4, we find gifts that the Lord had given to the church. He says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ until until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And you love these words, so that, mature manhood, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Philippians 1, verse 8 says, "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." So you have justification in Christ, but you also have the application of sanctification, that we should be presenting ourselves wholly before the Lord, that you and I are called to a life of not positional holiness as in Christ, but a life to where you and I have personal holiness in how we live this life. Colossians 1, 28 and 29, it says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me." So He's declaring that it's not the power of myself or my flesh. It's the power of God working through me, that He was toiling and teaching them the Word of God so that they may live holy lives, being presented before the Lord as mature believers. That Paul and Barnabas had traveled to all these cities, and it was now time to return to them to see how are they doing? To see the Word of God that had been preached, had it taken root in their lives, to see where they were in their spiritual maturity, to see the health of the individuals, the health of the church, to see if they could help and provide any guidance and wisdom into what was happening. For the mature in Christ, they have not only right thinking, the mature in Christ have right living. There is no doubting that the truth of the pastors in every church is called to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, primarily through the preaching of God's holy word. But it is also true to say that every church member has a responsibility. That every church member has a responsibility to hold the pastors accountable and to also see to the health of the church. Whether a teacher or a pastor, child care worker, or a member of the praise team, we are all members who need spiritual care. And we are all members who are to care for the souls of this local church. To be actively involved in seeing how people are doing. And believe me, that requires strength and effort and energy on every soul. This is loving the flock. It is a piece of fellowship, the use of our gifts for the glory of God. So I ask you to consider this morning, how are you currently caring for the souls of this flock? How are you caring for those whom Christ has purchased by His blood? How are you involved in maturing those at Foundation? Now, I do not believe that it is a person's intent to come to a church to become a consumer. But over time, when one does not read God's Word privately, when one does not spend time knowing God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, when one does not depend upon the Lord in prayer, one will sit in a church Sunday after Sunday, and one will do nothing but consume. Knowing God, resting in the mission that He will accomplish His mission, the mission that He has also given to us, it will become a part of our life. It is a work of the Lord. The answer to consumerism in the church is feeding the flock the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will do the work through them. The Word of God is what the flock needs to mature, and that maturity produces service. A love of God will result in a love for His flock, and that love will be active in strengthening the flock for His glory. So I ask you to be in prayer about ways in which the Lord would have you use your gifts for His glory at Foundation, that you read God's Word, that you pray, and that you serve. We are to care for the Lord's church. Look at verse 37 of our main text. We find a sharp disagreement over John Mark. A sharp disagreement over John Mark. It says, now Barnabas, he wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them, Pamphylia, not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So Paul and Barnabas, they had been there hanging out for a while, strengthening the brothers and sisters in Christ there, strengthening the Gentiles. And it was time for a follow-up trip. And it's also with great probability that Paul had already written the letter of Galatians and he had sent it. And he was eager to see how it had been received. Barnabas, he was ready for the trip, but he wanted to take with them John Mark. The Apostle Paul did not think it was best to take John Mark because he had withdrawn from them. He had left. Let's look at this event. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 13. Now, Paul and his companions, they set sail from Paphos and came to Perga and Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch and Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day, they went to the synagogue and sat down. Now, we are not told why John Mark left them. Maybe it was fear, disagreement, major differences, too hard of a labor, the entering of the Gentile area. We are unsure. We do know that John Mark was related to Barnabas, his cousin, according to Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. We know that John Mark left them and that Paul the Apostle thought it unwise to take him. Maybe it was his age, because he was young, his need to mature, his lacking of perseverance. The scriptures do not say. But this sharp disagreement caused Paul and Barnabas to separate. The word sharp disagreement, they inform us of violent emotion, great irritation. It was an intense conflict, so it was no small thing. Paul thought it best not to take John Mark. He thought it was unwise, and Barnabas disagreed. Now, some say that Barnabas should have submitted to the authority of Paul the Apostle, but in God's sovereignty, the Lord did a mighty work in this separation. It seems that Paul and Barnabas, they had talked. For Barnabas and John Mark, they went on to Cyprus, and Paul asked Silas to join him, and they went to Syria and Cilicia, and later on they went to Galatia. This disagreement that led to a separation was part of God's providential plan, and the Lord's work was accomplished. The churches were seen to. John Mark, both these men, John Mark and Silas, they seem to go on and have wonderful ministries for the Lord. John Mark, he wrote the Gospel of Mark. And then Silas, a prophet and respected leader in the Jerusalem church, he helped Paul in proclaiming the Word of God and provided reinforcement of the Gospel to the Gentiles with the Jews. He had amazing and faithful ministry with Paul. We will see more of this in the chapters to come. And even though these two godly men, Paul and Barnabas, they disagreed, the Lord accomplished His divine will. This is so comforting because no matter what man does, the Lord's going to accomplish His perfect and pleasing will. All the churches were visited again, and God's children were strengthened. Was this disagreement ever resolved? So later on in Scripture, we find that Paul talks of Barnabas and John Mark in a healthy way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, Paul speaks of Barnabas. He says, "Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living?" And in 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, Paul mentions John Mark. He says, "Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." So this conflict, it resulted in the establishment of two groups, and both groups saw to the spiritual health of the Lord's churches. That even in disagreement, the Lord's children were cared for and they were strengthened. These verses today, they remind us of some important truths that we as God's children must remember if we are going to live a wise and fruitful life for the Lord. Truth number one, in this fallen world, we will have disagreements. In this fallen world, we will have disagreements. We are all sinners and we all stumble in many ways. Both Paul and Barnabas were fallen men. They were not perfect. There was a sharp disagreement. There was violent emotion between these two men. Disagreement is part of this life. Point number two, the church is definitely not exempt from disagreements. There is no perfect church, but unity can still exist among brothers and sisters within a church when disagreements occur. Our eyes are to be kept on the essentials. Primary doctrines are to be affirmed, while secondary and tertiary doctrines allow for differences. Number three, when disagreements occur, we are to remain humble and gracious. When disagreements occur, we are to remain humble and gracious. And I can tell that there's more than two people gathered together this morning, that we comprehend that fully, don't we? But in disagreements, it is difficult for many of us to remain humble and gracious. So we have failed in that in many times. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. Let us look to Christ. It says, "Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is, it is this in you, because it's the mind of the Lord in you. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. For though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Humility and graciousness is best seen in the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We should be looking to Christ. Point number four, during disagreements, we are not exempt from holy living. We are not exempt from holy living. Philippians 2:14 says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." That is way easier said than done. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, it says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance." In other words, that as a Christian who has been redeemed by the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit has come inside of you, has indwelt you, sealed you for the day of redemption, that Holy Spirit is going to bring you to sanctification and one day ultimately glorification, that your life is to be dramatically different from those that are lost. That you will live for the Lord. It says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance when you were lost. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So in our conduct, we are to be holy. So during disagreements, we are not exempt from holy living. Number five, patiently listen and be a doer of the word. James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, because of this truth, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So in the testing out of our faith, we are to listen. We are to put away filthiness and rampant wickedness. We are to be doers of the word. And when we're not, we are deceiving ourselves and thinking that we are living obedient lives. Number six, which we learned from James 1 as well, ask God for wisdom. When you're in disagreements, ask God for wisdom. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, it'll be given him. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So if we go to the Lord in prayer, but we don't have faith, you might as well not go to the Lord in prayer and pray. Because that the man who does not have faith, he is unstable in all of his ways. In all of his life, he is unstable. We are called in all times to go before the Lord and ask God for wisdom. Number seven, when disagreements occur, sometimes there will be separation. Paul and Barnabas, they were both godly men, but they disagreed and they separated. Separations that occur, they should grieve us. But this will happen in this life. It will happen. Number eight, the goal of all disagreements as Christians is reconciliation. You want repentance. You want reconciliation. You want brother and a brother or a brother and sister to work things out and to move forward for the glory of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. The goal of all disagreements as Christians is reconciliation. Romans 12, beginning in verse 12. It says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. That's pride. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So the goal of all disagreements as Christians is reconciliation. We can learn that as well from Matthew 18. Number nine, remember that God is still working. Remember that God is still working. Many times when disagreements occur, when separations happen, we kind of come to the conclusion that God is not doing a great and mighty work, that God is not growing us in this time of hardship. He is. Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So all trials in this life, all disagreements, they are to teach us, grow us, and strengthen us for the glory of God. For there is not a single soul in this room who is a professional. There is not a single soul in this room that you do not need maturity. And I'll be the first person to say that. That if we think that we have arrived, if we think that we're the answer, you have pride. That we need humility before the Lord. That we need other brothers and sisters in Christ who have been gifted by the Lord with their gifts to grow and encourage, to spur on the body of Christ. If we're looking at a church thinking the church is weak and we're not serving, we've missed the boat. That we have growth in our life that we need. I have growth in my life that I need. This disagreement of Paul and Barnabas, it led to Paul eventually bringing along Timothy, which Blake will speak about next week. And Timothy was Paul's son in Christ. All the trials in this life, they have a purpose, and it is our sanctification, the conformity of our life into the likeness of Jesus. That the Lord all ordains all that comes to pass, and something that you and I constantly forget that Ravi Zacharias continued to push on people is that God is all wise. There are things in this life that you and I are not going to understand. That's a part of faith, trusting in our all-wise God who is powerfully working all things for His name and for His glory. He ordains all that comes to pass. Number 10, even when disagreements exist within a church, our assigned mission is not to stop. Our assigned mission is not to stop. Every member has a responsibility to continue to work at strengthening the body of Christ. There is work to be done. The gospel is to continue in being advanced by us. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they separated, but the work in which they were called to did not stop. Their work continued. Paul's second missionary journey has now begun. Some questions for us. Have you allowed disagreements to come between you and the work that God has assigned you to do? Have you allowed disagreements to come between you and the work that God has assigned you to do? If you are in disagreement with one another, are you pursuing reconciliation? Are you pursuing reconciliation? Maybe it's between a husband and a wife, brother and sister, or brother and brother. Are you pursuing that? If Christ returns today, which that would be wonderful, would it not? If Christ returns today, will He find you faithfully living for Him? We all must remain faithful in caring for the Lord's church, for this is His church. It is not ours. And we all must trust that our Lord is providentially ruling. He is completely sovereign, all-powerful. He's omniscient, all-knowing. We must remain faithful in caring for the Lord's church because we have a wise God who knows what He's doing. His ways are beyond our ways, and there are many things that He's going to do in this life that you and I will never completely understand. That's why He's God and we are not. We are His children. Father, I thank You for today. I thank You for Your holy word. Father, I thank You for Paul. I thank You for Barnabas. Father, I'm thankful for how You use this situation and they were able to separate the brothers in Christ. They grew the churches were cared for. Men and women of God were encouraged and strengthened. I'm thankful for their heart of follow-up. I'm thankful for the reminder that our call is to make disciples who make disciples. Father, I'm thankful for the reminder that even Paul and Barnabas are fallen men. That our salvation rests in the One who came and lived a perfect and sinless life, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father, thank You for providing justification for us wicked sinners through your Son. Thank you that he came and he fully obeyed you perfectly, and he laid down his life in obedience by dying on the cross. Father, for those in this room that are saved, Lord, thank you for drawing us to yourself, for saving us. For our hearts were in constant rebellion against you. Thank you for giving us a heart of flesh, giving us faith to believe. We did not deserve it. We do not earn salvation, Father. Our salvation rests solely on the work of Christ and your grace. Father, thank you for what you have done and you are doing in this world. Thank you for what you have done and are doing in this church. Father, thank you for the promise that we find in Scripture that your Holy Spirit is continue to move us on to sanctification. Father, as fallen men and women, give us eyes to see and to encourage other people in this body to help spur them on to love and good works. Father, reveal our pride. Father, take away our pride when we think we're the answer. Lord, you are the answer. Father, do a work in us. Thank you for the gifts that you have given to this local church. Father, may we cherish them by giving you alone the glory and the honor. When disagreements occur, Father, may we come before you humbly doing these things that your word teaches us, to pray for wisdom, to be patient, to be slow to speak, slow to become angry. Season our speech with kindness. May we not gossip and cause heartache. May we humbly submit before you, acknowledging that we don't know everything, but we desperately need you. May we be children who are gracious, that are in prayer for each other, who are dependent upon you. Father, thank you for your holy word. Lord, we pray for wisdom. We need it. I need it, Lord. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.